For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Glorious Thursday made better by the presence of the man himself. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we started hearing from some of the individuals involved in this big tilt that has been moved to the afternoon on Sunday, and interestingly, we did not see Jaden Daniels able to practice for the Washington Commanders, and Caleb was asked about it, and he always sounds good at the podium and said all the right things and says he hopes the kid plays, etc. He's not caught up in storylines. I wonder, Brad, if Daniels doesn't practice today, can a rookie maybe be limited on Friday or able to practice Friday and then start on Sunday with a rookie quarterback, given all the, and I'm sure he's taken part and everything, but if he's playing, doesn't he have to have some limited contribution this afternoon?
I would think so, but I wouldn't rule anything out. And I think Dan Quinn telegraphed which direction this is going already this week when he described him as week to week. If he would have said day to day, I would be more optimistic about the possibility of Jaden Daniels suiting up and playing on Sunday. But when he termed him week to week, that makes me think, well, guy's going to miss 1 week anyway, most of the time. So I would imagine while the Bears are, considering what both quarterbacks can do, that they're figuring Marcus Mariota will start on Sunday.
Brad, we asked during the pick six this question and want you to weigh in as well. Which do you think the Bears would rather face, a banged up Jaden Daniels or a healthy Marcus Mariota?
Oh, boy. Jaden Daniels has been pretty darn good. Like, you start looking at some of the numbers he's put up to this point. First in the league in completion percentage, sixth in passer rating, and then he's run for almost 400 yards. Like, he's within like 80 yards rushing of the Cowboys' team total. Now, Dallas is a complete mess right now, but that's a good question. You know, Mariota is, I think he's in a good spot there. I think this is a good system for him as a backup, and you could look at him as one of those, higher level QB2 guys. I don't think you want him starting for you, but I guess I'd say Mariota. I don't know. It's a little bit of a loaded question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Here's the thing, Brad.
Wow.
I mean, the guy was clocked earlier this year at 21.8 miles an hour. That's like, I'm not sure my car can get up that fast.
Well, and that's what's crazy. Like, people asked yesterday, like, do you have a different plan for these quarterbacks? And I'm thinking, Mariota moves really well, folks. Like, he might not be as dynamic and slippery and elusive as Jaden Daniels, but he moves really well. And so you've got a plan for the ability to stop the run by the quarterback, which has been a big part of that offense to this point this season. Like, the Commanders have run the ball really well. So I think from that standpoint, the Bears aren't really spending a whole lot of time wondering who it's going to be and how they're going to handle it, because these guys have very similar skill sets in terms of athletic ability. And I think one plan for Jaden Daniels will fit pretty nicely probably for Marcus Mariota, because really you're looking to, okay, you know, where's their strength on the offensive line? How are we going to attack their weakness on the offensive line? What do we think about this? That kind of stuff doesn't change from quarterback to quarterback.
Okay, Brad, let me ask you a question you won't be scared by. So what did you think of the Caleb Williams answer to whether or not he's getting into these other storylines going back home Sunday?
Shoot, he said he's been back home once or twice since he went to Oklahoma. So I don't think, and you consider they're going to take off probably Saturday early afternoon and get there Saturday mid-afternoon. I don't think Caleb's overreacting to this. I don't think he's putting – I think it's another game for him. I really do. I think he is professional in his approach. He's mature beyond his years, so – I don't look at this as some kind of situation where this is going to be some big time deal for him. I think he's just looking at it as the game that they've got this week.
Yeah, I like that answer. And I don't know how he feels emotionally about returning or the memories and all the people that will be there supporting him. But I think he strips it down to a point where he says, my job is to win, be it a Sunday, a Thursday, a Monday, and that's my job, and I'm just going to concentrate on what I have to do. I think it's a smart way of approaching a larger issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to have this question in your mind, oh, geez, is this going to be distracting to him? Does he have 250 friends that are going to be there? You know, there's just so little time when these guys are on the road, because their time's pretty much accounted for with meetings and meals and that type of thing that, you know, I don't think anything's really going to get in the way of him. And I wasn't surprised by his answer that he's just, yeah, because he's all business. He really is.
So, Brad, I think the Commanders' offensive line has been a big part of their early success. When you look at the Bears' offensive line, how do you expect it to line up this week, given everyone's sort of iffy health status, and yet don't know where Tevin Jenkins is? We heard that Borum is back. I don't know where things stand. How would you think they're going to line up, especially in the interior?
I think we're going to see the same starting five that we've seen for a couple weeks now. I don't think we're going to see any changes there. Tevin will be at left guard. You'll have Coleman Shelton at center and Matt Pryor at right guard. And Larry Borum returned to practice yesterday. I would think he probably practices at least 2 weeks before they consider activating him on the roster again. You know, he's been out for quite a while. He was injured, what was it, like August 23rd or something, was that preseason finale at Kansas City. So he's been on the shelf for a while. I think they'll want to be smart with that. So you'll see the same starting five, and then possibly Ryan Bates starts his practice window maybe next Wednesday, and then they'd have another option to consider here as they get into November.
Nate Davis, do you keep him on the inactive list because you're going to trade him for Max Crosby? How do you work that out?
that
might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, this idea, like, I had a guy yesterday and it was something else going to affect a Nate Davis trade. And I'm like, no, Nate Davis is going to affect a Nate Davis trade. That's why it's not going to happen, right? I think the Bears, The Bears put Bill Murray, who had taken zero NFL snaps on the field ahead of Nate Davis, and then the following week, Davis was healthy and active. And you think one of the other 31 teams is going to say, oh, yeah, you guys owe him about another $4 million bucks this season? Sure. Send him our way. Like, why would they give up an asset for that? Maybe something stuns me here. Maybe he's got a former position coach that he had a fantastic relationship with, and a team's in dire straits, and something comes together. But barring something like that developing, I'd be stunned if there was a trade partner for him.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Commanders. They're off to a very good start, and we pay a lot of attention to Jaden Daniels because he's the biggest reason why. But the running game has been very good, too. Third in the league in terms of average rushing yards per game. How much of that is the offensive line and the good backs they have in Robinson and Eckler, and how much of that is Jaden Daniels averaging over 50 yards rushing per game?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think what it is it's kind of a combination of both, but Daniels has a heck of a lot to do with that. And it's the same impact or effect on the entire running game that you saw Justin Fields have when he was with the Bears. And you saw the Bears ranking at or very near the top of the league in rushing. And that's why going into this year, you looked at it and you said, hey, this has been a really good rushing offense. What is it going to be like without the quarterback being such a huge part of it? And what we've seen is they've had some struggles at times, right? It has not been great, and it's gotten better here the last couple of weeks. But I think Robinson's a good, solid back. I think Eckler's probably past his prime, still dangerous in the open field, can hurt you a little bit in the passing game. But he's not like he was 3-4 years ago. But I think it's Daniels' ability and the threat of Daniels keeping the ball that's really helped out that running game.
Brad, Montez Sweat led both of these teams in sacks a year ago, oddly enough, after doing so well in Washington, then traded to Chicago. He gets a $100 million deal, and he's still as relentless and motivated as ever. I going back against this team, I wonder how well he can play in this game, and if indeed it is Daniels, and even if it's Mariota for that matter, if they're running a system whereby they're looking to get the quarterback into space and they're looking to to run the ball occasionally from that position and for big gains. Do you have to kind of mush rush? Does he have to contain himself? How do you handle a guy who's as good an athlete as he is and as fast as he is? How do you tell him, well, we got to make sure we contain him more than go get him? Or do you want him to go get him?
Yeah, I think that's a fine line where you don't want to tell a player like Montez Sweat, who's so athletic and strong and physically gifted, to not be aggressive. But at the same time, you know what, if he bends the edge there, thinks he has a path and goes for it, and then you've got no one on that edge over there and he doesn't make the play, well, you could have an issue, right? You could have a quarterback going for 15 yards. You could have a quarterback going for 25 yards running the football. So you want him to remain super aggressive, but you see that, and that's how that's a, such a common plan for handling some of the more athletic quarterbacks who are better movers, is you attempt to keep them in the pocket, and that requires being real disciplined on the edge. But he's such a freak that, you know, you'd have to feel like he's got a real shot against Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota, or heck, if they bring back Gus Frerotte or Heath Shuler, you feel like,
gosh,
he's got a shot to win that.
Senator Shuler, to you, Brad. So
oh, goodness.
When we hear from Shane Waldron later today, what do you expect the tone to be? And do you think he'll be asked whether or not he evaluated, or how he evaluated, Jaden Daniels in the pre-draft process?
Oh, I'm sure that seems like a storyline that's not going to go away anytime soon. And I would think you'll get like a very pleasant non-answer to that. But yeah, he should be upbeat today. They've been playing well.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be asked about, you know, self-scouting over the bye week. I don't know that you find any magic answers when you do that, because as Eberflus said yesterday, you know, they're taking a look at a lot of this stuff in game, after the game, the morning after the game. So it's not like they got to the bye week and said, okay, guys, we haven't done real well in the first quarter. We've got 10 points in the first quarter this season. We need to take a look at that. Like, they've been chipping away at that all along. It just hasn't, they haven't broken through yet. So I'm sure that'll be a topic. And it's a valid one. But there are some areas they've been fantastic. They're third in the league in red zone offense. So that's worked out really well. They need to start faster. They need to be more effective on third down, which usually starts with having better plays on first and second down, and probably need to run the ball a little bit more consistently. But otherwise, I think they've developed and come along nicely.
I was amused by DJ Moore at the podium yesterday, asked about that 230-yard performance a year ago,
yeah,
that breakthrough game for him, and he was like, yeah, well, you always remember that kind of thing. I thought it was kind of funny, and we obviously talk to him every week. What did we saw them have the sort of Keenan Allen breakout game. We got to get the ball to Keenan Allen. Is this getting the ball down the field to DJ again, or is Roma Dunze going to have his breakout game at some point here? They seem spoiled for choice as to who to feature.
Yeah, well, and that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And that, the Commanders, that like Jack Del Rio's game plan for that, what was it, week five meeting a year ago was, ugh. I think that ended up getting Jack run out of there pretty quickly after that. But they kind of had static coverage, and so it was pretty easy for the Bears to pick them apart. And Justin made a couple nice throws, and DJ made some even nicer catches. Whose turn is it this week? I don't know. You do have to look out for the pass rush, because that's a That's a defensive front that doesn't have any name edge rushers. You know, Dante Fowler was the third pick in the draft, whatever it was, 7 or 8 years ago. He's had some impact for them. But they're getting home, and they're producing. So it's going to be a better pass rush than the Bears have seen in the last 3 games at least. What you look at, though, is that when the Commanders haven't gotten home, they've been susceptible to some big plays. They've got a lot of heavy lifting to do on that roster in the offseason ahead. They've got deficiencies in the secondary, and so their big plays are there to be made, and Bears have just got to block it up.
Is there anything that Cliff Kingsbury knows about Caleb Williams that can help the Commanders prepare for him?
Well, I don't think so. You know, like, you know, the obvious stuff, like you don't want to let him beat you with those second reaction off-script plays. Like, I don't think you have to spend time on the staff with him for a season to look at it and see that. Nothing that would strike me as like, oh, hey, this will be some big clue that the guy could go to Dan Quinn and the defensive coaches about.
All right, Big Z, we will look forward to the pick tomorrow. That should be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Brad.
And another NFC North tussle. Well, you got an NFC North team involved tonight. Vikings on the road on a short week out in L.A. So that'll be interesting to watch to see how they rebound after what had to be a deflating home loss this past week to Detroit.
And we should get into it maybe at some point. Robert Saleh. Now a problem joining the Flower in Green Bay.
Yeah, to advise the offense because he doesn't want him stepping on the toes of the
right.
dude that's 40.
I think it's just so they can go out to dinner and badmouth Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
All right.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability, durability, and versatility built in. Like number one selling Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at cecturfandtractor.com.